Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
We got the band together, 9 o'clock hour. We're here to have some fun, take it right up to the 10 o'clock hour with nothing but good stuff. We got good stories of the day. Got a Danny Wright story for you. We're going to talk some local stuff and got our schedule coming up. All of that on the way. Right now, we kick things off in the 9 o'clock with some entertainment news. And Billboard finally announced the number one entry on its list of the greatest pop stars of the 21st century. And it is Beyoncé. She has that wholeheartedly. Billboard said, quote, "You can watch her on stage for a half a minute and instantly recognize that she is an all-timer." Quote, "Her inherent combination of dazzling beauty, impeccable fashion, captivating staging, her voice, her dancing, her lyrical work, all put her at the top of that list. Few artists this period can match her in any of the most critical basic categories of pop stardom, whether it's commercial success, performance abilities, critical acclaim and accolades, industry influence, iconic cultural moments, and absolutely no one can equal her in any of them." Quote, "Even Taylor Swift, the lone artist who really challenges Beyoncé for the top spot, simply hasn't been around for long enough to be able to match the expansiveness of her quarter century of dominance."
That's a pretty cool honor. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
I think it's really cool. Awesome. One really cool note about this, if I got it right, if I saw this right, and I only got to see it in one article. I usually try to back these things up in multiple articles. When this came out, Taylor Swift was the first person to agree with it, but like give her flowers and all that.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool. And Beyoncé kind of flipped it right back at her and everything. So I just like seeing that these artists respect each other and be kind of cool to see those two do a duet, just as a side note. I think that this is noteworthy also in the sense of we don't have a lot of artists like this. I'm not a gigantic Madonna fan, but I have a lot of respect for somebody that has like stayed relevant in 4 to 5 decades. Like, it's impressive what Cher has done. Dolly Parton we talk about all the time. Like, it's really impressive to me when an artist can do this.
Well, now, and imagine being part of the Billboard team that is like, oh, finally an easy one.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Because there's got to be times where each of those categories that you listed, you know, where you've got somebody who really shines in one but not the other and the other. And I mean, she's definitely, right, like exceeding expectations in all of those. So, good call. That's awesome.
It's pretty interesting and a pretty big compliment to her.
Yeah, big honor.
Terry, I don't believe you. I know that you're similar to me in the reality TV thing. You don't really watch a lot of reality TV. It's not your thing or anything. So I thought that you and I might be actually good for this. We're not reality TV people.
We can commiserate.
Yes. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is apparently a thing. They may have money, but that doesn't access them to the fanciest places in town. Jennifer Tilly found out that when she joined the cast, she said, quote, I thought that I was going to see a lot of people shop on Rodeo Drive, but a lot of filming they do is in the Valley, places where it's easier to get permits. They don't really put a lot of money into these things. This is not surprising to anybody who knows this.
So I have no idea who this woman is, but do you get the impression from that statement that she joined the cast because she thought she was going to get leverage?
Yeah, it seems like it.
You know what I mean? Like, she thought it was going to open doors for her that maybe she doesn't otherwise have access to?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I've talked to a lot of people, and like it or not, anybody that likes reality TV, there's a lot of actors in reality TV. There's a lot of people that get, like, breaks from it and everything. The issue, part of that is, nobody's going from reality TV to the red carpet. Like, that hasn't happened yet. So as far as, like I tell fellow actors all the time, look, it's low-hanging fruit. A lot of people can get their break, get on, you know, TV or whatever that way. But it doesn't lead to acting roles. You're better off working on a soap opera or something like that, which actually can lead to other acting gigs.
I don't, you know, I've caught little snippets, and I'm talking, like, baby snippets, never sought it out intentionally. But, like, of all these different Real Housewives, you know, like, of every major town. And I don't think any of them are looking for acting careers. I think they literally just feel so self-important that they want everyone. Like, I don't even I can't even wrap my head around what is going on half of those shows and why you would want to put it on TV or why you would want to sit on your sports feeling couch and watch that. Like, I just don't. I don't know. I can't. And I get it. You know, and you've said this a million times. To each their own on entertainment, right? Like, if that's how you want to spend an hour, then do it that way. But I don't. The Real Housewives thing, like, I just don't really get it.
There are a few things more lost on me than reality TV.
You know what I'd like to see? Is I'd like to see, like, 8 June Cleavers.
Yeah, yeah.
Just roasting turkeys.
I'd like to see...
doing homework with kids. Who are these women?
I want to see Real Housewives of Nacusa. An actual, like a real family.
I don't know. You know, so I don't get it. But it sounded like that woman that you referenced there. It feels like she was getting gypped because she wasn't getting the leverage she was looking for. Which is interesting.
Well, like reality TV shows are very similar to a fast food commercial. If you look at that burger on TV and you think that's what you're getting, I mean, you know, I got a bridge to sell you in San Francisco because it is all like image. It is all, there's very little actually behind the curtain on these things.
But don't you think a
Whopper? They don't have a big budget. They don't put money into these. Part of the reason there's so many reality shows is because there's no budget behind them.
I do think a Whopper tastes like it. Looks on TV.
It tastes like it, but it may not look like it.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I haven't had one for years, but it sounds good.
Seth and I are going to get a little deeper into this one tomorrow, but I did want to touch on this because I thought it was pretty cool. One of the earliest and most influential recordings in country music history came in 1927 when producer Ralph Peer, Jimmy Rogers, and the Carter family put out the Bristol Sessions. They're quite amazing. If you haven't listened to them before, I encourage you to take a listen to them. Well, another recording has now been found that predates those by 30 years.
Wow.
A date back to 1891 and sung by Louis Vassner from New Orleans. It's pretty cool. And there's some audio behind it and everything. It's very rough audio. But
still, that's really cool.
Very cool. Very cool. And it just speaks to how long this genre of music, this style of music has been around, how often people have been playing it and enjoying it. We're going to play a little of it. We'll get into it a little bit more tomorrow. But that was a pretty cool story.
That's neat, yeah.
And taking a quick look at what is new on your small screen tonight, the two-hour special, the 92nd annual Christmas in Rockefeller Center, 7 o'clock NBC. I love that they still do this.
I do too.
I've always thought it would be cool to see the tree being brought in and put up. And
so like bucket list for me is sometime to go to New York City in the Christmas time. Like I would never be gone for Christmas. I would like that's, you know, like actual Christmas Day, but to be to experience and see all of that in person, I think would be really cool.
I hear you. The mid-season finale of Abbott Elementary is on at 7 on ABC with back-to-back episodes. Celebrity Family Feud with Shaq and Sherry Shepherd. I want to see Shaq's family. I just want to see that part of it.
I want to see if they put all the rest of them on like risers.
Yes. They have to lower the stage.
Or just where he stands, like it just goes down.
Yes.
Little elevator.
And the series premiere of Pop Culture Jeopardy on Amazon, Colin Jost is hosting that. You can check that out as well, everybody. And then, of course, we encourage you to get your tickets because tomorrow is opening night for Irving Berlin's White Christmas.
Oh, cool.
Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, as our great friends over there and the team behind this one, both the cast, the crew, the directors, everybody involved has put so much into this one. I got to see the set when Beth and Seth and I were doing Hate Mail the other weekend. I have to get over there. I don't really intend to look at this stage. My body just pulls me to it. And I was checking it out, and man, is this a bone. They have gone above and beyond in the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 seasons with their sets over there.
That's
it's
awesome.
Incredible. That alone is worth it, let alone this incredible cast. It is a flawless cast. They've worked so hard on this one, and they're ready to go. They're chomping at the bit. They've been waiting to perform for you. Get there. Let's make sure that they've got a great big crowd for every show. They're going to be around starting tomorrow, December 5th and 6th. They will have 7 o'clock shows. December 7th, have a 2 o'clock matinee this Saturday. And then they're back next week with the same round of shows on the Thursday and Friday next week, 7 o'clock shows. And then they wrap up next Saturday with a 2 o'clock matinee. This is one of our favorite shows to put on every year, these holiday shows over at WRCT. This one's a little different. Haven't done a musical in a while. This is ambitious, everybody. You don't see a lot of community theaters being able to pull these kind of things off. We're able to, not only thanks to sponsors and that, but this community. So many of your fellow neighbors and friends and coworkers take time out of their daily lives. Monday through Friday, about 2 to 3 hours a night, you're over there at that theater rehearsing. Learning your blocking, learning your lines, working with your co-actors. Monday through Friday, doing this for months. 2-3 months you're doing this. All to get to this point, where you are tomorrow. It's go time. It is time to put on this show. And all they're waiting for is you. That's all that's missing.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Get on out and support community theater. Lots of opportunities, right? 6 different opportunities. Gather up some friends, your family. Date night.
Yeah.
Take your mom.
Oh, perfect.
I don't know. Sounds
perfect
awesome.
Perfect date night. You want a second date? Take him to this. I'm saying that. It's a perfect date night. Great, but nicely done by you, Terry. I do want to remind everybody as well. And again, wrctheater.org is where you can get those tickets. Wrctheater.org. A lot of cool things coming up in December over there. We'll be talking about them as we get closer to them. I do want to remind everybody that our new newsletter is coming out. Be sure to sign up for the newsletter. We've had great responses from people about this one. Thank you so much to everybody who has spread the word about our newsletter, and certainly to the team working so hard on it, that we have a lot of people behind the scenes putting a lot of effort into these. This is your one-stop spot for Central Wisconsin news. We are covering stories and things that few people are, and honestly, there's a lot of funding being cut in our news departments, like all over the country, let alone here in Wisconsin.
In all medias, too.
Yes.
You know
yes.
what I mean? Like in all, yeah, I agree.
We feel very fortunate, and I mean very fortunate, that we are kind of on the other end of that, where we are getting funding and being having a lot of resources put into our team here. We've had new team members in the last year or two. We've had a lot more flexibility with a lot of things. And this newsletter is part of that, is being able to get right to your email box local news that you're looking for, tailored local news for you. Sign up for that newsletter at WFHR.com, and a big thank you to everybody who has already signed up. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back, and we're going to have some fun talking about the top 10 questions kids ask around the holidays. Oh, this should be fair.
That'll be fun.
This is going to be fun. Coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Terry and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there. Thank you so much for joining us. Gotta take you right up to our news break in a moment here, but we got an important, informative one right here. What kind of questions are kids going to be asking you? The top 10 questions kids ask around the holidays. A new survey found 77% of parents feel pressure to make the holidays even better than last year and expect to stay up past midnight 5 times this month to make it happen.
I 100% put that pressure on myself.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
Yeah,
I have no problem with it.
Same. 100%.
This is my time.
The poll also found kids ask a lot of questions this time of year, more than normal, which is interesting, especially considering kids are always asking questions 24/7, no matter what the time of year. And you can probably guess the most common ones, but here are the top 10. And these are in, it does look like in order. Do you want to start at 10 or right
at
the top?
Let's start at 10.
All right. At number 10, can Santa's sleigh really fly?
Absolutely.
Yep. And Nordic tracks it every year, kids. So
it's super fun.
Now, when we were kids, this was something I remember listening to the radio for updates on Santa's sleigh, things like that. Man, nowadays, do they got it good, Terry. Like the Nordic system
but
and all the graphics
very cool.
and everything.
It's super cool.
Man, it is awesome.
Check it out.
I check it out. You can go to NordicSanta.org, NordicSanta.org. We'll be definitely keeping you up to date on that throughout the holiday season and everything. They're just getting started right now. They're still working on some things, taking care of some stuff right now. So Santa's sleigh, not a little, you know. It's good.
Definitely flies.
But I guarantee you that they're checking the axle. They're you know, making sure that everything's working on it. What do reindeers eat? That is their next question. Oh, that's a good one.
Well, yeah, because you leave out cookies and milk for Santa. You should leave something for the reindeer. For me, I would say carrots.
Good one. Yes. Moss, ferns, grass, fungi, and carrots. So you can leave carrots out.
Carrots.
Nicely done.
All right.
Let me get the...
Okay. Two for two. Here we go.
Nicely done. And yeah, with cookies that you're leaving out for old Saint Nick, you can also leave some carrots out. That's a good idea. Why don't I see Santa? Well, he sees you when you're sleeping, but he also knows when you're awake. So, you know, he's not going to...
Yeah, I think so too. You're sleeping and... I think Santa's pretty quick. You think about the volume of the work that he has to do. Yeah. I think it's, you know, maybe like a flash of light.
Yeah.
He's got to be fast.
Yes. He's also a master of disguise. Like, really good at it. Really, really good at it. What do, number seven on the list, how do Santa's reindeers fly? It's a great question. Wonderful question. The science behind it is magic.
Yes.
Yes.
Magic. You have to watch Elf.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It's Christmas spirit. I think that's how they fly. I also think maybe there's a little bit of, you know, like the reindeer version of pixie dust.
Yes.
Right? Like there's
yes.
just a little, yes. you know, sprinkling mm-hmm. of the elves come through, sprinkle it on, and off they go.
It's not an easy formula, but it is magic, a little bit of that dust, and of course the Christmas spirit.
And carrots.
Yeah, and carrots. Oh, yeah, you got to have carrots. Otherwise, I mean, you're only going to get so far. You might get to the, you know, around Asia, maybe, but yeah. you got to get the carrots in to get around the rest of the world. What if I'm naughty? Will I still get gifts? Well, this is a complicated one, but Santa answers this pretty good for you. If you start being good, your intentions are good, and you got a good heart, that goes a long way, and Santa sees that stuff. So I think that certainly means something. As a kid who was quite naughty growing up, I will say that you can always turn it around, kids. You can always turn it around.
That's right. I say yes.
Yes. Yeah. That doesn't mean that you can take off. You got to still be good.
Yeah, your intentions have to be good, right?
Right, yes. Right. I think that's a great way to put it. Number five, how does Santa know if I've been bad or good?
Magic.
I mean, the same kind of thing that helps him with the reindeer and all
he
that.
He sees you when you're sleeping.
I don't think we say this enough, but Santa's got magic down. Like, yeah. This is one of his things. It's making toys, cocoa, and magic. These are some of the things that Santa's very good at. Number four, how does Santa fit down that chimney? But again,
magic.
It's really the answer to a lot of the questions here.
Magic.
And it does make it very easy for parents. Like, magic. That's a really...
But, you know, it's legit.
It not only is it accurate, but it really is... as a parent, there aren't many times in life where the answer is just right there for you. not an overcomplicated, you know, answer, just magic. How does Santa deliver presents to all the kids in one night?
Same.
Magic. Well, magic, and I will say this too. Santa's got this; been doing this for so long. He knows. Okay, I can cut. I got a shortcut over here. I can cut through the ocean over here to get to there.
And the elves. I mean, right? Like the Santa Claus. I mean, if you want some insight,
yeah,
that's a good to know what's going on at the North Pole. That's a good place to look.
Really, almost could have been a documentary.
No, I don't like the fourth one. It's a little creepy to me with the Jack Frost guy. But the first one, a lot of insight.
How does Santa, or what if we don't have a chimney? This is something that we used to wonder back in the city when we were kids. Now, the way it was described to us is that Santa is very good at parkour. No, Santa knows, obviously, if you've been good or bad. He also knows, you know, how to get in these presents to you and figures it out. Like for us, it was coming kind of up through the fire escape or something like that.
And I think magic.
Yeah.
You know, and that also, that movie really hit a lot of these things. That's also in the Santa Claus, right? Yeah. Like a chimney just appears. I've seen a cute little thing sold in like different, I was going to say craft stores, home decor kind of stores. And it's super cute because it's a little sign. And then there's like a skeleton key, right?
Oh,
so a
cool.
fake key that doesn't actually open your door because it's magic. But it says, because we have no chimney or because we have no fireplace, here's a key for Santa. So it's just
great.
Super cute, you know, to hang up as just a reminder for kids who might be concerned with this actual question.
I remember for my brother and sister, one of the things that they enjoyed doing is not only seeing the presents out there, but they had to look out the front window right away because there were usually footprints out there.
Yeah, or try to catch the sleigh in action.
Yes, and that,
you know,
kind of thing. Yeah.
I can vouch for when I was a kid, we did not have a fireplace.
Mm.
And Santa still made it every year.
Yeah.
So you don't need to be worried.
I could speak to even in the deep part of the Chicago and in the inner city and everything, he was able to get us presents. And even over in the rural areas of Rome, he was able to find me.
Magic.
Yep. Always seems to. And of course, the number one question, is Santa real?
Of course.
Absolutely. 100%. Not only is he real, but he is doing some incredible stuff for all of you kids out there, and is thinking of all of you, and cannot wait to you know, drop these gifts off to every single one of you.
Busy, busy, busy guy.
Yep. Santa is not only that, but Santa's going to be in town here a bit too. He's going to be at a couple of different events.
I love that all 10 of those questions are Santa related.
Yeah,
it's fabulous. They, yeah. You know, just speaks to the season and the spirit in our hearts and magic.
There's just something you know, magical about this time of year. There is a lot of meet and greets going on with Santa Claus. I know that our YMCA is one coming up, and of course our friends at Two Arts Catering have breakfast with Santa coming up this Sunday, or next Sunday, December 15th, from 10 to 1, over at 221, over at 2711 Redden Road in Wisconsin Rapids, of course, our VFW. Be sure to make plans for that. It's an all-you-can-eat breakfast buffet. You can get $15 a person, $10 or 10 and under are getting in for free. A big shout out to Two Arts Catering and, of course, our VFW, 2711 Redden Road, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Meet and greet with Santa, breakfast with Santa, coming up Sunday, December 15th. And there's a couple of other events like that. I can admit this. I'm a little jealous. We want to get Santa on these airwaves here. We got to figure that out. Pam and I have been working very hard at it. We're going to try. I'm also going to try to get the Grinch on.
It's kind of a bad time of the year.
He's busy. I mean, it's very understandable. This is on me as a scheduler. I should have figured this out. Probably tried to get him in June or something,
you know,
like
maybe
that.
Maybe around Easter.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea either. Maybe I'll try that. But either way, these were great. These were great questions. This was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that one. We'll get a timeout in, take care of our news break, our sports break, check in with some of our great sponsors that we appreciate very much. And when Terry and I get back, should we be allowed to use sick days to care for sick pets? It's coming up. I think we know how Terry feels. It's coming up on the morning show.
You have no idea how I feel.
WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you.
Her name is.
I was just texting with Melissa, and I just thought it happens to me once a day now.
I have to take the opportunity when it's there.
You gotta. We are going to get into some interesting stuff right now. We're talking pets, Terry. We're talking pets over this segment here.
I already blocked this out.
Should you be allowed to use sick days to care for a sick pet? New York City might make it a thing. A new amendment would allow anyone to use sick days to take care of their pet. Right now, you can only use them if you or someone in your family is sick. The basic argument is pets are family. If you've got a cool boss, they might already allow it, but this would be written into the city's bylaws, so companies would have to say it's okay. It was just proposed this week, so it's not happening tomorrow, but do you think it's a good idea or not? And I'm opening this up not just to Terry, but to you out there. 715-424-2600. Hit us in the numbers. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about this one. Terry, you are in a unique position to ask this question
to. So I have mixed feelings. I agree pets are part of the family. I think that many companies have gone to PTO versus sick time, vacation time, holiday time. You know what I'm saying? So as far as pools of time off, I certainly have and do allow people to care for their, you know, my dog has a vet appointment. Can I leave at this time? But I also am like that with, you know, kind of anything, right? My kid has a Christmas program tomorrow afternoon at 2. Can I leave for an hour to go to it? Of course you can. So caring for pets, yes. But at the end of the day, the reality is you have this much paid time off available to you. Now, if someone had some kind of an emergency or a crisis and they had no paid time off left, you know, let's say we're getting to the end of the year or however that rolls for certain organizations. But, you know, let's say it's yesterday and you had to have your pet put down for some reason. You know, yes, of course, because people, you're not good productive workers if you have a crisis going on. But I'm also not in a business where it's a production line or where there are, you know, customers that are walking in that we have to be able to serve. I mean, I think that I don't think personally that a city should be in a position to dictate to its businesses that this is what you will do. I think that employees will go and work for employers that embrace things that are important to them. For some, that's pay. For some, that's paid time off. For some, that's pet friendly, you know, whatever it might be. Yeah. But I struggle a little bit with like New York dictating that to the companies. Now, if they want to do it with their employees, mm-hmm. right, with their municipal employees, that's their choice.
Right.
But for them to say, you know, okay, Macy's, you have to do this because, mm-hmm. you know, like, I don't know about that. I think it's about having and hiring and keeping good people.
Yeah.
And when you have good people, you are accommodating to them and what their needs are. I don't know. But just literally, I mean, honestly, if push came to shove and somebody had no sick, because we do have sick, actual sick time.
Yeah.
Somebody had no sick time left, or they had no, I shouldn't say that. They had like no vacation days left.
Yeah.
And they said, can I use sick time for this? I would right now in this today, I would defer back to, you know, no, you can't use sick time because that's not how the policy reads.
Mm-hmm.
I will allow you to flex your time. You know, if you need this afternoon off to handle this, then just work those hours somewhere else in the week or take it as unpaid time, your choice. I'm very flexible about stuff like that, but I would have to, I guess I'd have to make a case for getting a amendment to the policy as it reads, but you know, seriously,
it's one of these things where it's this gray area that we are trying to navigate in society right now, where you've got similar stories with a lot of therapy animals, you've got a lot of issues with insurance for animals or how much it costs for surgery for animals. We are becoming more and more an animal society. We always have been, but it's becoming that much more common where almost everybody, 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6 or whatever, have dogs or those kind of things. So I think that's important, an important note of that we are becoming more and more. We've mentioned many times whether I'm talking about with one of our mayors or something, the how much dog friendly people are and how much their influx of their population is impacted by that. So there's a couple of factors to that, but let's take a call from you out there. Good morning, you're on the air.
I am so glad that you mentioned therapy. Someone who has emotional support animals, yes, documentation is there. I've got it in folders. I think that maybe if New York was doing it at that, like saying if you have an emotional support animal, that is actually the same, and you actually can't keep people at work if their emotional support animal is like dying and you're out of paid time off. But I also want to say that, yes, pets are family. Yes, these people should be allowed to take care of their family when their family is ill. And I hear you, Terry, when you're saying, you know, get a job that offers these things, but you're pretending that that's possible for everybody.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know if she was saying that, but I hear what you're saying, and I think you're both kind of getting to a place where we're going to end up having to go to with this, where however you feel about this as a boss or as an employer, you're going to have to respect it to a degree. To Terry's point about getting good people, you get good people in, you work with them, I think that part of what you said, Terry, about New York kind of giving a blanket to this, part of my issue with that is so much of this is a case-by-case basis. I want to keep you on the phone. Thank you for calling in, Laura. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
This has to be a case-by-case thing. Now, if I have an employee and they have shown me nothing but excellence or work so hard and all these things, and that employee has an issue with their animal, they're probably going to get a little more lenience than an employee that it feels like is always crying wolf. That is part of the issue for employers, for bosses and everything, where how do I know, you know, is this person really need to leave today and leave early or not be here today? And how do I know that this person doesn't just want to watch March Madness?
Or how does it impact the people around them? You know, in the workplace. Yeah. I think there's so many variables. I don't think it's a yes or no question.
Exactly. It's too gray of an area to have a whole city decide or a whole state decide what everybody should do, every business should do. Now, I think that. You know, when it comes to, I don't know, you know, minimum wage, I think that there's things like that that certainly, hey, that's your job as a government, get to it. But as far as things like this, I think that most businesses can make these decisions on their own and do a lot of these things. I hear what Laura was saying there about, you know, when I read something like this, I'm not thinking about full-time employees as much as like part-time employees or people who are taking what they can get in the workforce, you know? And in that case, it's a it's such a gray area. It's such a more difficult area. And I hope that in those situations, if your pet is hurt or something like that, that your boss is understanding, because wherever, whatever it is, part-time, full-time, non-profit, profit, whatever it is, I think, Terry, you hit it on the head right away. It's hard to get good people. And when you get good people, you're going to work with them, you know? I think that this is something we earn as employees I think I've earned my keep here a little bit. I think I've earned my place. Give me a little bit of slack on this subject. Whereas some may not be able to do that.
Well, and I think there's a flip side. I mean, and I'm not having a debate. It is what but there's also like a flip side of, so what about the person who is not a pet person at all? Mm. Maybe not because they don't like animals. Maybe they can't have animals or, you know, whatever.
Right, right.
But what happens when their next door neighbor is their family, but they're not really their family?
Yeah.
Can they use their sick time to take care of that person?
I would say yes.
But I'm just saying, like, if you look at a written sick policy, it often says immediate family, those within your household. You know, I just think that it's just, there's just so much more. Yeah, there's so many layers to this that it just gets tricky. And for me, it's about people, and it's about, you know, how do you react? Like, if all of a sudden you have to leave right now, some emergency comes up and I say, yeah, go, I'll cover for you. But then when I have to go, you're like, I got to wash my hair today. Right, I can't help, you know? So I don't know. To me, it's about people and what they're, what they contribute to the whole, and how everyone works together, and not every workplace has the luxury of that.
And not to be blunt or unfriendly. You know, I'm not going to win a lot of people over with this here, but I also work is work. Like, you get paid to do something, do the job, and if you have things that come up in life, like we all do, every single person out there listening right now has things going on right now, right this second.
Every person
that they easily could be doing, paying more, you know, than their job. But we got a job to do, and we have to do that job. We all are adults, and we know what we sign up for. That's part of this too. And it's a gray area, and it's a case by case thing. But I think when it comes right down to it, you as an employer, if you're the boss, you have to make that decision and understand, well, is it good to have my employee here if they're all they're doing is worrying, and they're basically, their mind is at home. Their body's here, but the mind is at home. And certainly understanding too is this, as the employee, a you know, life or death situation with my pet, or is this something that I got to work in order to feed you, Fido? I got to work. Like, it's a gray area. I get it, but it's also, having a pet is not a privilege. It is not a birthright. I mean, it's a privilege. So when you take this on, you know what you're taking on. I push back a little bit with people where they do things and then they kind of like are blown away by the aftermath of them. Look, you do this, you know what you're signing up for.
Ultimately, a big part of it, any kind of, I don't know, would we say employee relations kind of things, is communication too.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like I can tell you wholeheartedly, every single person, there's only six of us, every single person on my staff, if somebody sent me a message right now and said, I have an emergency, I have to leave, I would not question if they legit have an emergency. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's about communication, about relationships. But let's say you're a small business owner, mm-hmm. and you have a storefront, you know, so whatever, you're selling something, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever it might be, and you have one employee working. Like, they also can't just leave.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they have to communicate with you. You have to come in. That you have to find somebody else to, like there's just way more layers to this than to say sick time can be used for this.
I can think off the top of my head at least six or seven different times when I was doing this job and it was just me and Pam in this studio that I definitely should have left the job and I couldn't. Like, there's that part of it, too, for every person that there's on the side of this where, I can't do this because of my pet. Well, there's other people, too, on the other side of things that would like to and can't. I think that's important. And one factor in here that they don't bring up that never worked for me. I used to try this with my old boss, Panama, all the time. If your imaginary friend is sick, they're not going to listen. They do not care. Bosses do not care about that. They just look at you like you're crazy. Like, what are you talking about? Like, nobody takes it seriously,
you know,
Terry. Sorry, nobody.
I have not had that one come up. So thanks for throwing it out. Yeah. I'll be watching for that one. You know, and I also, just for the record, I am pet friendly. Mm-hmm. We've always had a family pet. We've always, and honestly, just like with our children, my husband and I have always, you know, kind of had to take turns, right? Like, okay, I stayed home yesterday with sick kid. You can stay, you know, you stay home today with a sick kid, or, right, you know, the dog needs to go to the vet or whatever. And sometimes, you know, you just have to, I guess when you take on a responsibility like that, you have to understand that there's going to be some yeah, challenges with it, right?
That's just it.
So the companies who are 100% able to do that, pet friendly, meaning like, you know, you could use sick time, maybe you can bring your pet to work. And I'm not talking about therapy animals. I mm-hmm, get that. But mm-hmm, I'm just saying, like, in general, I've gone in places where there's just a cute little dog sitting in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's really cool. But I think it's an unfair expectation to think that every single employer can do that.
I think that if we're getting any clear answer here, is that
there's no one, clear answer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Muddy area.
Yeah, and it's got to be a case by case thing. I don't think that you can have a whole city decide this for all companies. I think that seems pretty clear about it. And yeah, don't try the whole imaginary friend thing. It's just to save your time. Come up with a better excuse.
That's actually kind of funny.
And you gotta be very serious when you're doing it. Like, yeah, my friend Tommy, he's imaginary.
Yeah, I wouldn't use imaginary anywhere
no,
in the
no,
narrative.
No, no. You gotta keep that. Maybe towards
like,
the
who's
end,
this
maybe.
Tommy? Yeah.
I've never heard you bring this person up before. That's interesting.
New best friend.
And he lives in Imagination Land. Oh. Okay. Well, you know, actually, maybe you should have some time off. Maybe you do need a little time. We'll be back.
Oh, but you can't say that.
No. We'll be back with more show. Welcome back, everybody.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away.
Terry and James here with you to take you to the top of the hour. Wrap up the show. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Appreciate the best listeners in radio hanging out with us. Got a couple of interesting ones to wrap up with Terry. And a bit of That Ain't Right stories. We're going to kind of get through these quick because they both have a little bit of a tie into our Midday Magazine guest. We'll line up that in a little bit. But here's a reminder that it's okay to pivot and change plans when needed. Some fool decided to shoplift from a Walmart near Richmond, Virginia on Sunday. Not ever a good idea.
I saw this and I think it's so dumb.
Never a good idea. Certainly not a good idea when they're having their annual Shop with a Cop event going on. It's a real criminal mastermind right here. You'd see him in the next Ocean's 15.
Well, I mean, he probably just thought, they're going to be busy over here. I can just slide out.
I appreciate the fact that you thought thinking was involved. I thought, I don't know. Around 50 cops were inside the store shopping with kids, and they were all in uniform. But instead of choosing a different store, no, this guy went right ahead. And, you know, well, no, I'm going
I mean, the plan is the plan.
A police spokesperson said that they were stunned he did it, since there was no way he could have missed the fact that the place was crawling with police officers.
Wouldn't it be funny, though, he gets in his car, and then all of a sudden there's like 50 squads and he's going like 15, you know, and they're all, there's like this whole processional.
That ain't right, man. So what are you doing? To be fair, we have to cover the other side of these things too and everything. And this one, I don't think is that ain't right, but it's also a little interesting. A couple of weeks ago, a police officer in Colorado was chasing a suspect who committed felony theft and was fleeing on foot through a neighborhood. The thief was running through properties and jumping fences before he eventually stole a kid's motorized scooter and took off with it. The police officer was in hot pursuit, jumping over the same fences, but now he was losing ground, so he took another kid's bike.
Wow.
There's video of the cop from a neighbor's security camera riding down the street on a kid's bike, chasing another man on a kid's scooter. Eventually, the officer caught up with the suspect who had been, cornered by another police officer in a car. The thief was charged with felony theft and also had three outstanding warrants, so they're going away for a while. The department posted a video of the pursuit and said, quote, "It's not about the wheels you're riding, but the heart and the dedication behind them."
That is fabulous. I love it. And think about being that kid now. Your bike was used to get this dirtbag off the road, off the street.
You walk into school the next day with your chest puffed up.
You've got lots of serious bragging rights.
You got bragging rights. That bike is a legendary story right there. I would beg for that. A neighbor says the family did not mind the cop borrowing the bike. They say it was returned immediately afterwards and everything.
You've got a felon running through your yard. Take the bike.
Yeah, let the guy take the bike and everything. I love the video of it though. The video of it. It's an actual felony. It's a crime. You don't want to take any of this lightly or anything. But if you were to, I would love to see the video like slowed down,
or where it's a bike where like he or she their knees are like hitting their cheeks because it's such a small bike.
All chases should be in like Hot Wheel car, the little Hot Wheel bikes.
Let's reverse this. What if the criminal would have taken the bicycle? Do you think the cop, if he didn't have any kids, would have known how to use that motorized scooter?
It's a good question.
I mean,
it's a good question.
Legit.
We may be able to ask that question to our good friend, Sheriff Sean Becker.
I think you should. Tell him I'm dying to know.
He'll be in with us from 4 to 5 today. Be sure to check out Midday Magazine today from 4 to 5. Not only will we have Sheriff Becker in with us, but we'll have Tim Bassett in. Tim is a recent winner of the Jefferson Award, so we're looking forward to talking with Tim and Sean as well. Looking forward to that today from 4 to 5. Be sure to join us for it. And right after that, you got Playmakers from 5 to 6. Join us with your sports takes and feelings. Get them out of your system.
Your sports feelings.
We're going to have that for you from 5 to 6, thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing.
You must be laying on the sofa.
It is recommended. Yes, it is recommended. I did want to remind everybody as well that you've got a great one going on tonight. Bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693. Their doors open at 5. Bingo kicks off at 6:30. Join them and support those that support this community at 430 West Jackson Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Have fun bingo tonight, everybody. Who does say sofa anymore? It's a good question. It's a good question, Derek. Did want to wrap up talking a little United Way with you and reminding everybody it is go time. It is campaign season.
Absolutely. So we are busy right now raising funds to help support the programs and initiatives that United Way endorses throughout the community. So the funds we're raising now will help to fund 29 programs starting January 1st and 10 local initiatives. So there is a lot going on in the areas of youth opportunity, financial security, community resiliency, and we just really encourage you, when you think about a healthy community, to think about the network that makes the community better for all members, and that includes you as a donor. So if you have not made a contribution to this year's campaign yet, it is certainly encouraged. You can do that by visiting our website, uwswac.org. You can certainly stop and visit us at 351 Oak Street here in Wisconsin Rapids. And, we encourage you to do what you can to help, 2025 be a bright year for all of our community members.
We want to be able to impact our communities and do good in our communities. And one of the greatest ways to do that is by being a part of the United Way, and so many of the different ways that the United Way impacts our community. If you're curious, reach out to the United Way to find out all the different ways that they do and the different things that they do over there. Find out that. Encourage you to also put back into your community through maybe your time. Maybe you're looking for volunteer opportunities. 211 is right there for you. It's a great resource to find out more about those. There are plenty of events and plenty of ways to be a part of things with the United Way and be a part of campaign season. It is go time, everybody. Help your community. I can't think of many better ways to make an investment into your community and into your future than through the United Way. Find out more at uwswac.org. Be sure to follow them on social media as well and support those that support this community, like our great friends at the United Way.
Get on over to Quality Plus Printing too and pick up one of their coloring books. Those are free for all children in the community. And the sponsorship from those coloring books is donated to United Way to help support our initiatives. So encourage you to stop on over and see Phil and the team and get a coloring book.
Yeah. And a big thank you to Phil for joining us today. Thank you to the listeners for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun. I want to wrap up with a couple of good stories. A 91-year-old guy with dementia went missing in Wyoming last week, and no one knew where he was for 2 days until his wife happened to see him in a local news report from a completely different state. KSL in Salt Lake City did a segment on a rescue mission serving free meals for Thanksgiving, and her husband was sitting at a table in one of the shots. It turned out he had hitchhiked 200 miles, and he's now back home safe and sound.
That always just tugs at my heart.
It does.
So much
It's
that one was one that went right, but there's so many times that could could end in a bad way. So
yeah, you know, it's one of the things that actually we've talked about with Sean quite a bit, where we've got nowadays with these drones, we have such an ability to be able to find people like
especially
never
with the
before.
Heat seeking, yeah,
yeah, it's yep. incredible. And it's really unique. This story
and the silver alerts, you know, I mean, yes, like that's yes. that's a big deal.
But the just the chance, just the randomness of that, that it hits your
scary.
Heart. It's really yeah, and heartwarming to think that they're back. And a shout out to that news team as well. That's great. We appreciate all of you listening. Be sure to join us again today, a little bit later today, for the Midday Magazine from 4 to 5 and Playmakers from 5 to 6.
And therapy after.
Therapy right after or during. And then at 7:05, the Wisconsin Hockey Hour right here at WFHR tonight. Terry, thank you for a great show.
You bet.
Have a good day, everybody. Be good to each other out there. And we will talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.